The Mike Dolce Show.
Cause you can,
you won't, and you don't
stop. Cause you can,
you won't, and you don't
stop. Or when you can,
you won't,
and you don't stop.
Mike D coming down for sure.
Welcome to the Mike Dolce Show, episode 11, February 11th. I'm excited, guys. Why am I excited? Because it's Monday, and I'm back. And I'm looking forward to these podcasts now. In the beginning, we were fumbling our way through just a little bit. But now I'm getting excited. I'm sitting there on the couch and I want to pop up. And I got things to say and topics to talk about. I see a news item that I want to expand on for you guys and help push this information out there. So for content ideas, we are stockpiling all sorts. And we're listening to what you're saying also. All the Facebook messages, the Twitter, and the emails, and the direct contact that we're getting. We're listening, and we're going to keep pushing out questions and answers and topics that we want to hear that are pertinent to your health and fitness goals, my health and fitness goals. You know, what's going on with elite athletics and cutting-edge science. And, you know, MMA, which is a sport, obviously, that I'm a part of and I absolutely love. But everything. We're going all over the place with this. And we got Brandy. What's up, Brandy?
What's up, Mike?
Podcasting.
I'm here. I actually have my own microphone now.
Have you noticed Brandy has the microphone? See, we've heard. We've heard you guys.
Thanks, guys.
Brandy and Bob need a microphone. Bob's not here right now. Alleged sports with the Bob. He's not here. He's up to, what's he doing?
No good.
He's up to no good. So we'll just leave it at that. He'll be back on Thursday. Brandy, I want to hear a question. What do we got? Well, loaded with Q&As on the Facebook page / The Dolce Diet.
Let's do it. All right. This one is from Michael Wilson. He says, Mike, I love the podcast. I need some advice. I'm looking to lose 100+ pounds. I've made changes to my diet and activity and love the zucchini, black bean, and quinoa soup. All right. But my main concerns are two things. Number one, I'm afraid of burning off muscle instead of fat. How can I prevent that? And number two, I'm participating in a charity running race for children's cancer. My daughter got diagnosed last June. And in June, he's doing this in June. I'm in desperate need to improve my cardio. What would be the best way to do that? This race is very important to me.
Michael, I appreciate the question. Thank you for sharing your situation with me. And let me try and break down what I see. So first and foremost, you want to sit down with your doctor. You want to see if you have any medical issues. You want to talk to your doctor and tell him or her about your lifestyle change and have your doctor oversee everything you're doing. Diet, exercise, lifestyle. Become best friends with your doctor. I say that probably every podcast now, and I'm going to continue to say it because it's the truth. Become best friends with your doctor. They should know everything about you, and you should build the program together. With that said, you're 100 pounds overweight. Now, I'm assuming it's 100 pounds of non-functional weight, and it's weight that you should lose and to be a healthier individual. So we'll say, okay, you're going to lose 100 pounds. How do we go about doing that? I point to the standard Dolce diet principles. Step one, the foundation, earth-grown nutrients. Make sure you are only eating the highest quality, the most nutrient-dense foods, easily digested, that you can get your hands on. That's the first step, because you want to make sure that the calories you're taking in are the most nutritious. You're not taking in any empty calories. You want to lose 100 pounds, which is easy to do, but we do that by losing 1 pound at a time. So don't focus on the 100. Let's just focus on 1 pound at a time. Clean up your diet. Eat only earth-grown nutrients. Your body's going to start to change rather rapidly. The non-functional weight, the weight that you don't need, the body fat, water, there's you know, quite a few things that are considered non-functional that you don't need. That switching over to a diet solely of earth-grown nutrients will dramatically reduce your body fat. Also, what it'll do is it'll increase your cellular health, because now the cells, and that's what we are, our entire body, we're just a big bag of cells, billions and billions of cells. And these cells need nutrients to rebuild, right? I mean, basic, very simple. The nutrients that we give the cells should be of the highest quality. If we're building a house, you know, it starts with the foundation. And if the foundation is of subpar bricks, cinder blocks, what have you. If it's of subpar materials, well, the quality, the strength, the integrity, the longevity of the structure will be compromised. It'll be inferior, maybe just a little bit, or maybe, you know, a dramatic amount. So when you think of nutrients, when I think of nutrients, I think of them as the building blocks, the raw materials of my cells. Now, the cells are the building blocks of the other facilities of my body, whether it's my skeletal density, it's the health of my heart, my vision, all these things are directly affected by this. So the longer I put in earth-grown nutrients or very clean, very dense nutrient products, the healthier the cells will be during their life cycle. And when they regenerate or when a new cell is born, let's say, it'll be a healthier cell from the get-go, from the beginning. It makes sense, right? So just using that basic principle, it's just a basic universal principle, and let's get rid of all the confusion about how to lose weight and dieting. Let's not focus on the 100 pounds. Let's just focus on being healthy right now. So that's step one. Now, it also says that you're afraid of burning off muscle instead of fat. Okay, I understand that. Let's focus on building muscle, or let's focus on getting stronger. Because you have to get stronger before you start to build muscle. In order to get stronger, well, you have to be eating very nutrient-dense food so you have the proper building blocks to build and repair and regenerate your skeletal mass, the functional weight. So you're eating a diet full of earth-grown nutrients, and now you're considering some form of resistance training or exercise at all. Any form of exercise is a great start. Talk to your doctor, see what's right for you. It could be as simple as walking around your block with your dog or your spouse or your kid or your friend or your neighbor or whoever, with listening to the Mike Dolce show. Maybe you're doing that right now. That'd be cool. Going on your daily walk. That would be actually pretty cool. That's I listen to everything. But anyway, I'm not going to go sideways here. So, Michael, it could be as simple as a walk, as a five-minute walk just out your front door, day one, step one. It could be, you know, 400-meter interval sprints, you know, doing stadium steps, carrying, you know, big tree logs on your back, like shoot in Vision Quest. I mean, that could be another type of workout depending on what's right for you.
That's your favorite movie.
That is my favorite movie. And you guys, everybody that knows Vision Quest knows. They know why. Or the people that know, they know. Not everybody knows, though. See this? I'm on the flow. Brandy steps in. Story of my life. All right, so you're back to resistance training. You're eating earth-grown nutrients, and you're building your skeletal mass. You're getting stronger. Now your body enters into an anabolic state, or that's the goal. We're trying to shift you into an anabolic state, a building state, a growing state, a regenerating state. We don't want to see you sitting in a catabolic state. You're eating bad foods. You have environmental stresses. You're not exercising. You're not initiating the life function. You're not telling your body to live and to thrive and to grow and to challenge. You're basically telling your body to just sit there and waste away and slowly die. We don't want to do that. We want to eat earth-grown nutrients. We want to eat really nutrient-dense foods. We want the best quality ingredients and materials available for us to repair, regenerate, and grow and respond to the type of resistance training that we're giving it, whichever's right for you, but it's a constant evolution. If we're doing that now, I'm going to throw another R at you. We're resting. We're resting completely, fully. It's very important. And you can rest while you sleep at night. 6 hours to 9 hours. That is the general. That's where all humans fall. Typically 6 to 9 hours. There's a few people that get away with 5 hours and a few people that need, you know, over 9 hours, you know, 10 hours. But the vast majority of us falls in that 6 to 9 hour range. I personally am a 9 hour person. I tried to be a 6 hour person. I would, you know, get up at the early dawn for years and years. But I always felt a little sluggish. I never felt as energized as when I started sleeping 9. And I'm not a lazy person. I'm very busy. I work dawn till dusk, but I make sure if I get those 9 hours, I can do anything. And you have to find what's right for you. So you're eating earth-grown nutrients, you're training, you're exercising, you're pushing, you're moving your body, you're initiating the life response. You're in that anabolic phase, anabolic zone. You're resting, which is now you're allowing your body to adequately repair, recuperate, regenerate, restore, revitalize during your rest. Now, from there, you can go on and you can pretty much skew any which way you want. You want to be a magician? You know, you want to be an MMA fighter. You want to be a great parent. You want to, you know, be the best mailman ever. What have you? You know, now you can pretty much choose your direction. And you're going to have a long time to pursue that, which is really nice. Says you're desperate to improve your cardio. What's the best way to do that? And the race is very important. Well, the race, I wouldn't put a limit on the race. And to remind everybody, it says you're participating in a charity running race for a children's cancer foundation. Your daughter was diagnosed last June, and sorry to hear that, but it's, I mean, a diet of earth-grown nutrients and proper healthy lifestyle. I mean, for your daughter, I can't think of anything better. You know, a great way to have that healthy lifestyle, that healthy foundation at home, not just for you, but for your daughter now, who's going to be going through some, you know, medical processes and, you know, under the doctor's guidance and, you know, all sorts of, healthy restorative measures are going to be taken into consideration. Well, so should great nutrition and adequate sleep and, you know, exercise when it's appropriate. So, Michael, you know, I'm really impressed with you. You know, I got to tell you, you're doing a great thing. You're a leader. You're leading by example. And, you know, it's awesome. It's very touching. I mean, you're 100 pounds. You know, that's the great goal. For the charity event, just being in the event, you know, if your daughter can be with you and you can hold her hand and walk with her, I mean, enjoy every step of the process. There's no reason to race through it, especially right now. Don't overburden yourself. Enjoy this, you know, enjoy this. We can start scheduling and planning for races down the road. I mean, we can plan for marathons, man. If that could be a goal, you know, in a year from now or 2 years from now, you want to do a 5K or a 10K or a half marathon or a full marathon. That's a great way. I mean, goals, and then we break them down into action steps. We give ourselves a proper timeline and we start picking it off. But remember, it's 1 pound at a time. So we go back to the beginning. We don't get ahead of ourselves. Earth grown nutrients, eaten in even intervals every 2 to 4 hours. Based on what we just did, what we're about to do, we eat until we're satisfied, not until we're full. We stay accountable. We have fun. We enjoy it. We enjoy it. We love it. I love to cook. I love to cook for my family and friends. I love to come up with new recipes. I love to feed myself. I love to, you know, find the highest quality nutrients that I can put in. It's like, you know, ladies out there, it's like shopping. It's finding a great, you know, deal on a pair of shoes. You know, if you can find the highest quality material out there at the lowest possible price, or, you know, the most delicious and, you know, enjoyable, well, that's the way to do it. And that's what you should think about food. You know, I'm a little bit biased because this is what I do constantly, you know, 24 hours a day. I'm focused on this. But it's the most important thing to us, you know, what we eat, what we consume. You know, has a direct influence on us, on our health, on our well-being, on our physical output, on our energy levels, on our vitality, you know, on our ability to work and interact with others, you know, to foster relationships and to, you know, have clear thinking, you know, cognitive ability. It all comes down to our food, you know, and what we consume, you know, hydration, food, and then, you know, any environmental issues, stresses, contaminants. All that stuff needs to be taken into consideration. But again, Michael, 1 pound at a time, brother. Keep up. Stay in touch here. I want to see how you're doing. You know, let's keep you accountable. All right, Brandy.
All right, next we have James Baser on Facebook. He says, "Hey, Mike, I love the books and the podcast. I'm down 20 pounds using the cookbook and living lean. My question is it better to train a single body part a day or multiple body parts a day?"
James, what's up? Great question. I actually like that. Down 20 pounds already?
Yeah.
With living lean. So that's awesome. That means you've made a dramatic lifestyle change that you're sticking to. It's not 3 weeks to shredded, which is the short-term weight loss. A lot of the athletes and bikini models use 3 weeks to shredded. Living lean. So that 20 pounds is off and it's staying off. And you're probably going to lose more non-functional weight if you have it to lose. Now, if your body fat's already in that 8 to 12% range, I mean, you're pretty good at that point. Like I say, you're somewhere right about 10%. I mean, that should be the goal for most men, you know, on average. 8 to 12%, I think, is a perfect range for all of us. Ladies, you know, somewhere in the high teens is excellent. Below 16, I mean, that's, you're getting towards, you know, high-level athlete level. You know, below 20 is should be the goal. You know, because ladies, I know back and forth, body fat is a lot more personal. And, it, you know, but for, you know, for health reasons and for performance, remember, this is live and lean. So this is stay on the leaner side of the fence. But how many times a day or how many body parts should you train? Train them all. Train just one. Don't train body parts. Train specific lifts. You know, focus on, you know, outside activities and sports for a little while. And why do I say all this? Because I want you to use moderation. That's the biggest thing. Arnold Schwarzenegger used to train multiple body parts, multiple times a day, multiple times per week. And then he had different phases where he would train just, you know, one body part a day each day of the week. And he just trained one body part, you know, would get a turn each week. And again, it's because it's moderation. Your body adapts. That's why we train it. When we train our body, it adapts, and then we plateau and we don't make any more progress unless we give it a different stimuli, unless we give it something else. So then we change it up. I believe in constantly changing up our training program. There's an old saying in the strength conditioning field. The best program is the one you're not currently doing. And there is great wisdom in that, because the best thing for you is something that you don't know yet as far as growth comes and adaptation and change and evolution. You know, you're training, you're going through the motion, and we all know it, whether it's at work or at home or wherever, you get into that rut. Well, your body, your muscles get into a rut real quick. It's the central nervous system. The central nervous system is in charge of muscle growth and strength and all these things. So you have to constantly excite your central nervous system, because it adapts extremely quick. If it didn't adapt, we would all be dead. We wouldn't be here. We wouldn't evolve. Central nervous system controls everything. And we have to constantly excite it and trick it and find ways to keep it on its toes and to keep it going and adapting and building. And this is something I've been doing specifically with myself. I mean, my whole life, my whole career of training since, you know, 8 years old is when I first picked up dumbbells and weights and started, you know, training for strength and size. That's when I was switched on. So 30 years later, you know, I'm still finding ways to excite my central nervous system and also with my athletes, because the new excitement, let's say, the greater the results, the more, and if you can foster, you know, the adaptation in the direction that you're going, then much greater results. You know, you can force very specific changes in a short period of time, knowing that your central nervous system is going to be excited, it's going to adapt, and then it's going to plateau. So what we do is we just change the stimuli before we plateau. So we're constantly evolving, constantly adapting, we're constantly making progress. So to answer your question, every program is the one you should be doing, but to break it down, start now, look in 3 week cycles. You know, do a heavy phase where you train, I'd say, you know, train for strength. I'm a strength head. With strength comes muscle. With muscle does not come strength. I'd rather have both. And I'm not disrespecting, you know, another field or style of training, but if you're not training to be strong, you're not going to be strong. Certainly not for your size. Maybe for the average person, you'll be a little stronger, but not enough to, you know, to justify the time in the gym. I want to be much stronger than I actually look. You know, that's the goal, and you're going to look pretty darn strong if you have that attitude. So I would go through a three-week phase where you train for strength, squats and deadlifts and rows and chins and presses, you know, exercises like that. And then for a three-week phase, go through like a body part blitz. And there's all sorts of great programs out there to do this. You can really just make your own. Pick, you know, one body part where you do three exercises, 10 reps per exercise, and you don't have a break in between. Take 30 seconds of rest after you've done the all three exercises and go through your set again. Something like that. Do that twice a day. Do your arms on Monday. Do your shoulders and back on Tuesday. Do your legs on Wednesday. And then repeat it again Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Simple, easy program, something like that. And then boom, jump right back in your strength work again. But this time, do it with different lifts. Instead of deadlifts, do good mornings. Instead of, you know, barbell squats, do single leg, you know, holding dumbbell squats. Something new, something different. So that's it. Variety, that's the key. You want to get, guys, if you're eating well, you're eating earth-grown nutrients, your body has all the nutrients it needs. It has all the materials to repair based upon eat, based on what you just did or what you're about to do, right? So if you just excited your central nervous system to the point that it should adapt and make you stronger and bigger, well, it needs the proper materials. That's where it goes back to the earth-grown nutrients. We've excited our central nervous system through this very specific style of strength training or bodybuilding training or, you know, fencing or tennis or whatever. Whatever adaptation you've tried to force with your central nervous system, you need the proper materials to rebuild it. Once you've done that, you're skewing in that direction. That's really the simple thing. Guys out there, I get questions all the time. How do I get bigger? How do I get stronger? This is how you do it. You freaking eat the right food constantly. You don't worry about the pills, the powders, the potions. Stay away from that stuff. Get your diet balanced with real foods, earth-grown nutrients. Make sure you're sleeping those 6 to 9 hours. Both these questions tie in. And it's funny because you can hear, hopefully it makes sense, both these answer or this answer, very similar for both, is common sense. And it goes back to the universal principles, which is why I know this is true, which is why I know it works. Because, well, it does work. We all see it. I mean, I got 4,000 testimonials on my Twitter page alone, and I got guys stepping in the octagon most weekends and showing that this style of works. Jesus Christ, if I'm healthy, if I eat real food when I need it and I'm not a glutton, if I don't overeat, if I sleep well, if I train intelligently, if I lead a happy life, well, then I do really well and I feel really good. Well, holy shit. That's just crazy. No, that makes perfect sense. It makes perfect sense, everybody. Why am I the crazy one screaming this out? You know, I should just be another guy on the street sharing the same conversation as everybody else. Like, the sky is blue and earth grow nutrients are good for you. And that pretty much is the end of the conversation. So, Jason, you know, that's the way to do it. Variety, everybody. And I know I kind of skewed a little bit, but I wanted to tie this stuff back in and hammer the principles. Follow the principles and you can have anything you want. Because these principles, they carry over, everybody. They carry over. It's not just about your health and fitness. That's the easy part. Once you can control what you consume, you control your health and fitness. Once you can control your body fat percentage, see, you know what? I'm going to be 10% body fat on this date. If you can do that, you can do anything. Don't kid yourself. Don't kid yourself. I don't care what you've done, what you've accomplished, what you've purchased, what, you know, you've obtained. Once you can choose a body fat percentage, and you can get there, you can do anything. You can certainly do anything. And that's where it starts. And it all starts with the principles. Earth grown nutrients every 2 to 4 hours. Based on what you just did, what you're about to do. Eat till you're satisfied, not till you're full. Be accountable. Have fun. And help other people. Add that one on there too.
All right. Our next question is from Staff Sergeant Kevin Harvey of U.S. Army Air Traffic Control in Germany.
Yeah.
He says, hey, Mike, first, thanks for the podcast. They're all awesome. Don't change a thing with the format. I'm stationed in Germany. Because of that, our selection of certain products you name aren't readily available. I have both books. Could you go through a few things on either the podcast or YouTube channel of things we can find anywhere and would be a good way to jump into the diet? Also, could you give a good definition of carbs? I work with a few guys that say carbs are the devil. But I've come to understand that a proportionate amount of carbs with your activity level is okay as it provides energy.
Kevin, what's up, man? Number one, I really appreciate what you're doing. You're a soldier stationed in Germany. You know, that's I come from a military family. I understand. I respect your service. So, number one, thank you very much. Number two, let's get into your questions here. Kevin, I agree with you. My last name is Dolce. That means sweet in Italian. That is a carb, right? So it has to. The Dolce diet, it has to be carb heavy. Well, that's not true. And we're not exactly carb heavy, but yes, I am certainly, I utilize carbs constantly, consistently. Rarely do I cut carbs, even during fight week, especially during weight cuts and fight week. I make sure that I eat and consume and suggest carbohydrate intake. Why wouldn't I? Why wouldn't we? You have to be healthy, right? I mean, yeah, you need that. Your brain runs on sugar. Your body runs on sugar. We primarily run on sugar, a form of sugar. It's about sugar. Once we pull the sugar, well, then our systems start to shut down. Whether it's just the energy we have, our cognitive function, our ability to think clearly, to hear, to see, to speak sometimes, your organs start to shut down. That's the last thing we want. So we want to be healthy, and we want to be healthy with a well-balanced diet. I think that's one of the things that the athletes really like about being on the Dolce diet is they eat properly. They eat constantly. Typically, you know, day before weigh-ins, these guys, they eat 4 meals a day. They're fully hydrated, easily drinking over a gallon a day. The average, you know, average guy, average middleweight, day before weigh-ins, they're not suffering. And that's the big misconception. They're not suffering. They're eating. They're healthy. They're healthy. They're hydrated. They're well-fed. It's much easier to compete and train and do all these things when you're healthy, right? It's much easier to do these things when you're healthy. So why be in a distressed state? Why be dehydrated? Why be, you know, carb deprived? Why be nutrient deprived? You shouldn't, you couldn't, you can't. I won't. Neither should you. So Kevin, carbs are good, but they have to be the right carbs. Let's start with the earth grown nutrients. Let's get our carbs from those sources. And I try and make sure my carb sources, they bring something to the table, like quinoa. I am a huge quinoa fan. It's easy. It's easy to store quinoa. It's a dried grain. You can store it in a bucket in the back of your pantry, and it's always going to be there, and it's always going to be pretty good. It's always ready to go. One part quinoa, two parts water. That's a half a cup of quinoa into 1 cup of water. Boil it, reduce it to a simmer, cover it. 15 minutes later, it's perfect. It's ready to go. You can chop up some fresh vegetables. Throw it in there as it starts to boil. When it goes down to a simmer, now it's cooked. It's perfect. It's delicious. Those are carbs also. Vegetables. Those are the carbs that I'm looking for, the carbs that I like. Oats. I am a fan of oats. Oat bran. Complex carbohydrates, high in fiber, high in protein. I like it. I utilize it. That's what we want. So the people that say, oh, I can't have carbs, and even fruit. I'm a huge advocate of fruit. Constantly. Fruit is like it's a power pack in a video game. I'm constantly running around trying to find another piece of fruit to eat. Fruit is amazing. It's packed with nutrients. It's so odd to hear people say, oh, I shouldn't eat fruit. I'm trying to be healthy. I'm trying to help you have, you know, an insulin issue, a sugar issue. Well, of course, if you have some sort of medical condition, but that's the very few percentage, the vast majority of us, fruit's good. Fruit's good for you. And it's funny because the same people that typically don't eat fruit will eat some sort of packaged product as if that's good for you. You know, 42 chemicals to taste like something to offer you 15 grams of protein and yada, yada. They'll act like that's good, and fruit's the demon. So, Kevin, I'm using your question here to get a little long-winded, but really to illustrate the point, carbs are good, but you shouldn't be overeating, and this is where the principle, you eat until you're satisfied, not until you're full. Don't even overeat your carbs, and you know. We know, everybody. You know when you're screwing up. You know when you're shitting the – I was going to say wet in the bed and shitting your pants because it's the same thing. You know when you're about to shit your pants or when you just did when it comes to your diet. So don't do that. Don't shit your pants. You know, it's a very vivid visual way, but come on, that's basically what you're doing. If you're not making the right choice, if you're overeating, well, you just did it. Why are you going to do that? Now you got to clean up the mess. Why? Just move forward, keep it going. So, Kevin, there you go. Carbs good, don't overeat carbs. Earth grown nutrients, very important. And did he had another question in here?
Yeah, yep.
A selection of certain products that aren't readily available. All right, so on the base over in Germany specifically, it's hard for you to get certain products that might be in certain number of my recipes. Most of the recipes, the vast majority of products can be found around the world. There are a few ingredients that due to geographic location might not be available at that time. Try and find a comparison. Try and find something within the category is what I tell people. The categories are there, and that's why we talk in principles, we talk in categories, so you can make the right decisions for yourself. You know, if where you are doesn't have blueberries, but they got a ton of grapes, you know, red grapes, well, there you go. They got strawberries, they got raspberries, what have you. If it's a fruit item, well, you swap it out. That's really the way to do it. But if you stick to the concept of number one, the first principle, earth-grown nutrients, you can scout out something that's similar, something that's close. And if you can't, find something else that's still an earth-grown nutrient. Stick within that category. You're going to be absolutely fine. And you tell me, say, hey, Mike, I'm in Germany. I was going to make the power pasta. They didn't have red peppers, but I used this instead. And man, it was freaking awesome. Tell me that because I will share that with everybody else around the world. That's what I try to do. I just want to share this information. I'm no genius, everybody. I'm just sharing information. I'm speaking from experience. I have a passion for this stuff, but it's all common sense. I'm sharing common sense and thousands and tens of thousands of personal experiences with people and with results. And this is what I'm trying to share with you guys. So, Kevin, that's the way to do it. Keep in touch. I want to hear. Give me a recipe that you don't see in my book that you have to find something locally and let me know what that is. That's freaking awesome. And best to you and best to everybody out there. Thank you, guys.
Oh, well, I have a question here from Stella DePape Schulten.
Stella!
I knew you were going to do it. You just can't help it. I don't think anybody can help it when they hear the name Stella.
Stella!
Oh, jeez. All right. Here's the question. Hey, Mike, I love the show. Supports a lot of the fitness and nutrition principles I live by. You talk a lot about ideal body composition for male fighters and athletes in the on and off season, roughly 5-7% body fat during training and up to 10-12% during the off season. What would you recommend for a female MMA athlete? Thanks.
And first name again?
Are you really asking me?
Stella! Stella. Sorry, that's from the Seinfeld episode. One of my favorite Seinfeld episodes, Jerry goes down to Boca and his father's going to be nominated or, you know, be president or whatever the resort is. And you guys know if you're Seinfeld fans. And Elaine, she takes too many painkillers because she hurts her back because she was sleeping on the pullout sofa and her back was all jacked up. And then somebody's name was Stella. She's like, Stella. And it's just a funny Seinfeld moment. So anyway, moving on to the question, which was,
I knew you were going to have to do this again and ask me again because you went into your Stella rant.
Hold on. This is what happens.
This is what happens.
Well, I didn't want it to seem like I was making fun of somebody.
No, yeah. I don't think anybody thinks you don't make fun of people, Mike.
Hey, but I just want to be clear.
Okay. All right. Here we go.
No ill will.
Everyone knows. All right. Here we go. She says that for male athletes, you recommend roughly 5 to 7% body fat during training and up to 10 to 12 during the off season. What would you recommend for a female MMA athlete?
Okay. Now the female body fat percentage is a little different. It's a little more specific to the individual. But for guys, say a competition body fat, MMA fighters, males, I like to see a competition body fat percentage at 7%. Anything lower than 7%, that's a little too low. That extra body fat is insulation. It provides us with vital energy that we need. We need body fat in order to fulfill biological functions. So we can't get too low. Now, if you're a bodybuilder getting on stage, if it's strictly visual, if it's cosmetic, well, you can take your body fat down lower. And I certainly wouldn't suggest it, though I've done it. I was at 5% body fat all through October into the beginning of the filming of The Ultimate Fighter. I was working on a project, and it was intentional. Brought my body fat down 195 pounds, 195, I think 195 and change. We'll say 195 at 5%, 5.2% body fat exactly. And I was able to hold 5%, for nearly 5 or 6 weeks. And it was tough. It was hard work, I got to tell you. And it wasn't the healthiest thing for me. I looked great. I felt great. And that was, I felt great. I was very physical. I was able to perform. I was training like a madman. I did 30 workouts in 6 days at one point. Documented. It was part of a project that we'll be talking about later. But 30 hard, legit. I mean, legit. 30 hours of each workout was about an hour. Hardcore freaking training sessions in 6 days at 5% body fat. And I was training, 4 hours a day, 2 to 4 hours a day at least for the 4 weeks before that at a very low body fat, and continued. Late October is when I started to pull back the training a little bit, kept my body fat low, and then I slowly floated back up to about the 8% where I am right now. I feel much better. Much better at 8%. I can think more clear. My energy or my mood, and that's really what it is. My mood is much better at this body fat level. I feel stronger, fitter, healthier, more virile, masculine at this body fat percentage than I did at the other one. I felt waif-like. Although I was able to perform and train, like a machine and never get tired, I just didn't feel very solid, very dense, very strong at this body weight percentage. I certainly do. That's why I say 8 to 12% is a great off-season percentage. Now, had I not gone down the 5% body fat, I'd probably be about 10% right now, because that was my norm previously. That I was very comfortable, but because I was able to go lower, hold it lower for a while, I reset my metabolism, is what it feels like. I reset, I changed my body in essence. So now I can maintain 8% very easily the same way and nearly at the same calorie level, although I don't count calories, but food quality or quantity level, that when I was at 10%. So that's pretty good. And this is something I'm working on, I'm documenting, I'm going to share with you guys soon and help you freaking change your life and feel absolutely amazing and eat good food and all this stuff, Dolce pizza and power pasta and pit bull pancakes and all that crap, because that's what I'm eating during this time and able to maintain and manipulate body weight and strength levels and performance parameters. I had very specific goals and endurance goals and strength training goals and all these different, lean mass percentages at those times, just to show that this stuff can be done simply and easily. Now, that hopefully gets the male body fat, 8 to 12% off-season training, right about, 3 weeks out or so, I want my athlete to be about 7% body fat, male athletes, and maintain pretty much close to that into the weight cut and into the fight. Now, ladies, it's more subjective, and it's certainly not a visual representation, because I know ladies that are in, easily above 20% body fat and look absolutely stunning, beautiful. I mean, in the 20s, in the 30s, I mean, in the 40s even, there's some ladies out there that look absolutely, stunning. But that said, performance-wise, health-wise, what we're talking about, the living lean lifestyle, you should be, 20 should be a ceiling. You know, and there's some that can float over 20, but really 20% body fat, that should be a pretty good barometer, a good ceiling of, you know, what would be the highest objective or goal to set for yourself. Now, anything lower than, you know, maybe 15, well, that's getting a little bit too low for most women. So I think, you know, between 16 and 20% is a pretty good body fat percentage, just from what I've seen and from a lot of the women's body fat. You know, I know a lot of female athletes. I work with a lot of female athletes. I study the sport. I study all sports. I study the journals. You know, I know and see what's out there. And that really seems to be a very solid, healthy range. Now, there's female athletes out there that are getting down to, you know, super low, you know, super low percentage, 12% body fat or whatnot. And it's not very healthy. It doesn't look very comfortable. I can't imagine. It probably feels worse than when I felt at 5%. Not a healthy range. But I think that's a great place to start and let your own individual, you know, individual sport, individual output, you know, medical history, all that stuff has to come into consideration also. So how do you feel? And really don't focus. And this is guys and girls. Don't focus personally. Now, use these rules, you know, generally, these principles generally. But personally, how do you feel? How do you feel your best? I feel my best at 8% body fat. I don't look bad at 10 or 12%. I look bad at all. Might look better in some people's minds, but I feel my best. I feel like I'm in my right body. I'm in my right skin right now at this body fat percentage, lean mass ratio. So that's the gauge. That's what I got. And I'm not working for it. You know, I'm not dying. I'm not suffering. It's just the lifestyle. I enjoy my day, enjoy my life, and this is what it is. So that's how I feel like I know I'm doing the right thing. And you too. Be intuitive. Go with your gut. You know, don't shit the bed because you'll know. You'll know. You'll have that little saying, that little thing in the back of your mind. Oh, God, I shit, and I'm making an excuse right now, and blah, blah, blah. The same old thing comes back in, and here we go around, and I'm on that circle or the carousel again, and, you know, I'm going to tomorrow, or I'm going to do it Monday, or I my next time, and I was a busy, and this and the other thing, and then the kids, my car. You know, don't be that person anymore. You know, be accountable. Find what works for you. So, Stella, you know, female and everybody, you know, I certainly use your questions not just to answer you, but to speak to everybody, because maybe people don't relate specifically with your question. And I'm not Stella, this is everybody, you know, since the dawn of time I've been answering questions. I try and spread the answer and you know, tie everything back to immediately usable concepts and principles for everybody who hears it. I'm not just the person. So Stella, 20%, what's your body fat percentage now? What's your lean mass ratio? How old are you? You know, do you have any medical issues? What's your sport? So as a coach, those are the questions I would ask you personally. Generally, I'd say, you know, feel great, perform great, you know, make sure you can see, you know, your waistline and abs and, you know, depending on how deep you want your abs to be. Those are all barometers and indicators that tell you if you're at the right body fat percentage. Again, it's tough. It's a very unique thing.
Hey, we have a comment from Virginia Rivera. She says, my boyfriend and I started making your recipes and they have been excellent, although it's hard to pick which one to cook that evening because they all look so good. Living lean, A++.
Virginia, thank you very much. That's what Living Lean is. I wrote Living Lean and the Living Lean Cookbook, the follow-up. I wrote Living Lean because my job as a professional coach, I would go around and work with elite athletes. I would help elite athletes, or I help elite athletes get ready for competition, weight class dominated sport, MMA, professional MMA. Typically, most of my athletes compete at very high levels. So they bring me in and I live with them. I shadow them. I follow them around. And they live with families and they're very real, normal people. Just like the mechanic, just like the lawyer, they're very real, normal people with wives and kids and school schedules and soccer games and dance classes and, you know, car tire flats and, you know, the dog in the pool and all that stuff happens. And when I would go and I'd see, and what I do is I help troubleshoot. I help dial in the lifestyle. I help, you know, moderate the training system. I help find, you know, new recipes to add into their life that's going to keep them on the right path, that's going to keep them healthy, that's going to keep them in a bubble, say a little bubble of positivity is what we try and put around these athletes, and just take away any sort of outside, external, negative influence. And I would go into these houses, and I would see mom, and I wrote Living Lean for the moms, because I would see mom making a meal for dad, pro athlete, superstar dad, and she'd make him his, you know, super athlete meal, whatever that was. And then she'd make the kids whatever she could get them that they like, because they're finicky and picky and they're busy. And, you know, it's maybe something fast and probably is. And then somewhere in between, she'd try and eat for herself. And this is, I mean, this was almost every household I've been to. And it's not just the pro athletes I work with. I work with executives. You know, I work with celebrities. I work with very elite, high-level people. And it's all the same thing. We're all the same. And I'm looking at this. I said, son of a gun. This is not fair. This is not right. I have all these amazing recipes. I mean, we have hundreds and hundreds of recipes. And I'm always creating, and we're always coming up, Brandy and I, we're always coming up with new recipes and having fun with it. We love it. We love to be in the kitchen, love to cook. But also because of my background, I know the nutrition. And I know nutritionally what, you know, each meal could be or should be, or, you know, we aspire it to be nutritionally speaking, and how it would fit into a healthy lifestyle, goal-oriented lifestyle. So when I share these recipes with the athlete in their home and the wife, and usually I come in and say, no, you know, mom, you sit down, you know, go, you know, with dad, you take the kids out, you guys go do whatever. Let me whip up one of these, you know, meals, feed it to everybody, and everybody loves it. Yay, hooray, you know, Chef Mike, or, you know, Coach Mike is awesome and the savior. And I would sit with the family and teach them and show them, this is the kitchen. Let's go through your kitchen. And it's not, you know, showing people that a kitchen, it's a reflection of you. I spoke about cells in the beginning of the podcast. The kitchen, your kitchen, well, that's what your cells are. That's what it's made of. Those are the materials. Those are the building blocks that you're putting in your body. And usually I take everything out. We take everything out. We take out the cabinets. We undo the pantry. We empty the refrigerator. We put everything on the counter. Kind of in order, you know, close. We're not too crazy, but in order close enough. And we go through everything. Oh, this is broccoli. This is spinach. These are apples. Great, great, great. Put that back. Well, what's this? This box of, you know, panko crumbs, breadcrumbs. Very normal, very common in America. Very typical. It's, you know, make, you know, fried chicken or, you know, fish or something like that. You roll in the panko. It's breadcrumbs. Well, let's flip it over. Let's read the ingredients. Ah. Oh. You know, enriched wheat, number one, and it just goes through. It's all these, you know, ingredients. And whether it's, you know, I'm just using the term panko because you can substitute, you know, 1,000 different names and labels. We go through and just box after can and bag, and we go through, read the ingredients. Oh, this and that. Well, what is that? Well, I don't know. What is that? I don't know. Let's flip open the computer. Let's Google this. Oh, my God. High fructose corn syrup, hydrogenated oils. Jesus, that's who? Negative effects of, oh, my God. Hey, in children. How about that? Let's look at that. Oh, here's all these studies. Wow. So like now, you know, I got them on the hook. They see, they understand. Okay, you know, this stuff is what we're feeding, we're consuming, we're adults. So we're consciously, now we understand. So we wipe away the first ignorance. So now there's no more ignorance. And some people, it's not their fault because of the way you're brought up or just what you're exposed to. You just don't switch on. You don't get it. So I try and say, hey, you know, this is what it is. Now let's understand it. We accept that. Okay, step one, we accept it. Step two, let's find replacements. Let's canola oil. Let's get rid of the canola oil. Let's get grapeseed oil. Let's get coconut oil. Let's get a very stable, high heat cooking oil that offers tremendous nutritional impact. Let's get it as close as to an earth grown nutrient as we can. Let's follow the principles of the Dolce diet, yada yada. And here we go. Let's restock the kitchen. Hey, in Living Lean, I got a grocery list. Here, I made a grocery list. Go through the grocery list, buy only what's on the grocery list. And you can eat forever and have amazing, delicious meals and never eat the same thing twice, certainly not for a month. I mean, there's amazing. We got, 180 recipes, I think, between Living Lean and the cookbook. This was written for the women because it separated that craziness, the chaos, the dysfunction of a lot of families that don't eat together, especially when dad's job has to do with eating and weight cutting and training. You know, when you know, a lot of my executives, you know, there's some individuals out there that they have abilities to eat other places, very similar to the family, whether they have a private chef, whether, you know, they go to a restaurant and, you know, they're at a hotel, they can have, you know, meal special made. So we'll set up a menu that at home they're eating specific recipes and dad on the road is eating those same recipes. Sounds a little weird, but what this does, it helps tie the family together. So now everybody's eating the same thing. And now, you know, he's gone for, he's a salesman. He's in another town for a couple of days, you know, and then he's back on Monday. Nobody, you know, everybody's on the same page. They don't miss a beat. I've found, it might sound a little hokey. It might sound a little weird, but it helps keep everybody tied in. Dinner now, eating now, you know, that whole tradition is tied back in. And that goes to the social impact of lifestyle and lifestyle change and fulfillment and a support system. Virginia Rivera. Thank you so much. And it is for everybody. It's for the moms. It's for the families, because families can eat exactly like pro athletes. Children and women and everybody else can eat exactly like UFC superstars, freaking love their meal, get in amazing shape, and never feel like they're suffering, because they're not. Do the research. Look and see. Google it. Check out my websites, Facebook pages. Talk to each other. My Dolce Diet support system. I mean, there's people on there I can't control. Tens of thousands of people all talking about this stuff and how awesome it is. It must be, because it's filling and everybody feels great. And they can't believe they can eat this much and feel good and their body's responding properly. Because they're finding out, they're following, you know, the menu, the meal plans, the recipes, but also they're accountable. It's not, we don't count calories. I will never tell anybody how much to eat. You know, I'll suggest meal times, you know, post-workout meals a little bit different than breakfast or right before you go to bed, things like that. But calorie counting, come on, it's a waste of time. Template diets, structuring out a daily meal plan, writing it down and saying, here, eat this for the next 3 weeks or 6 weeks. That stuff doesn't work. You know, that stuff is doomed. It's destined to fail, because that stuff has been printed for years and decades and thousands of volumes and pumped out, and that doesn't work. The only thing that works is accountability, eating properly, giving your body the right materials it needs, initiating that response, the stimuli, the resistance training, the anabolic effect, resting so you can repair. And there you go. It's that simple. Brandy, do we have any more questions?
Negative.
Negative. So, not that many questions, but we're at, you know, it's a pretty good amount of talking that I'm doing here. Do you know, the ability to talk is very difficult.
I honestly don't know how you do it. See, that's all I had to say.
See, that's it. Now, and then you have to keep going. And this is, and I'm not saying, I mean, there's people that make it look freaking easy. There are so many, you know, great radio hosts out there that make this look easy. And podcasts, there are amazing podcasts out there that make this look easy. But it's pretty difficult. And I'm a guy, I don't mind to talk. I'm used to talking. You know, I coach, so I'm constantly talking. Multiple athletes and classes and personalities and seminars and speeches and all that stuff. And, you know, certainly I rule my house with an iron fist.
I have no comment.
Yeah, see, that's because of my fist.
It's iron.
It's iron. So, Valentine's Day.
Yeah, talk about our new menu.
All right. So what we did, guys, we told you about it on Thursday, and we have it done today. It is in the Kindle bookstore. Now, you can get a Kindle app for free on your iPhones, on your Android, on your iPads. Almost every device allows you to download a Kindle app. So it's the Kindle app you're looking for. Can you even get it on BlackBerry? You can probably get it certainly out of the new BlackBerries. You're freaking better. I am a BlackBerry user still. Wait for my BlackBerry 10. That's a whole nother topic. And what this is, it is it's free. Valentine's Day recipe book. Meal plan. What are we going to call it? Brandy wanted to call it what?
What it is called is the Dolce Diet Valentine's Day menu. 10 recipes that say, I love you. Now let's grapple.
And that's very nice.
It is nice. It's sweet.
I think it should say the Dolce Diet, 10 recipes to trick her into thinking you know how to cook so you can get it done later book. What do you guys think about that title?
I like my title.
Well, hers might be a little more PC, but mine might be a little more appropriate. We even have a morning after dessert section. You know, I mean, you got to eat breakfast, right? So check it out. Look for it. Hopefully it's available right now on Kindle. iTunes, it's hard because iTunes takes up to 2 weeks to approve a submission. And things like this we do as fun projects, timely projects that we're trying to rush out in the middle of you know, the craziness that is the Dolce Diet and the Mike Dolce Show and all the things that we're trying to do. You know, just have fun with it. The recipes are freaking awesome. Right? If you don't know how to cook, well, shit, I'm going to teach you. I'm going to show you how to cook. I'm a caveman. I'm a caveman. Come on. You know, I'm not a classically trained chef. I'm not, you know, working as an intern over in a France, in a French restaurant, you know, for 4 years. But I'm a freaking amazing cook, you know? I mean, I can put a tremendous meal together, and you know what? It's nutritious. So now you're going to, trust me, if it's for your wife, awesome. That's the best case scenario. If it's for your girlfriend, your fiance, your boyfriend, the person you're dating, awesome. Show them that you care enough about them to put this together. To, you know, I went to the store. I bought this. I made this. I made this for you. And it's better than anything we would have went and bought somewhere else at a store. And you know what? You're already home. Think about it.
Are you going to start singing Barry White now?
No. I'll leave that to you guys. You know, some people like Barry White. Some might do Deftones. Put something a little crazy, you know, a little more high energy. Dinner music, of course. So make sure you check out the Dolce Diet Valentine's Day Cookbook for free on Kindle. Actually, Brandy, what are the recipes in the Valentine's Day Cookbook?
Oh, we have some seared ahi tuna.
Yeah.
The veggie paella, which is one of my absolute favorite.
Veggie paella, vegans. So we have a steak meal, we have a chicken meal, we have a fish meal, and we got a straight vegan meal. We have you all hooked up any which way you want to roll with it. We got it covered.
And most of them are gluten-free.
Most are gluten-free. I mean, come on, guys. And you can tell this to her or him, whoever you're cooking for. You say, listen, baby, this shit's vegan, yo. It's vegan and gluten-free. What? No girl can resist the vegan, gluten-free stamp of approval. Organic, non-GMO. Come on now. Right? Well, maybe. I don't know. The game has changed probably since I've been out there.
My face is just frozen. It's like plastered with horror right now. Who are you?
So, the recipes are awesome. Desserts, the breakfasts are actually really good. Check it out, guys. Now, I get questions. Like I said, we're getting overwhelmed with questions, which is awesome. And we're trying to aggregate the questions, you know, ourselves. We have our intern Sean, that's helping hook this up. Put questions in certain criteria so we can see basically what you guys want to talk about. A lot of you guys are having trouble with support systems. People in your life that you care about that are making it difficult for you to make strides and move forward. And this is something that I covered in depth in Living Lean. I call it crabs in the pot, the crabs in the pot syndrome. I believe that's what the entire chapter is called. And what the crabs in the pot syndrome is, if you've ever put crabs in the pot, and typically, you know, you catch crabs, you're going to cook them, you put them in a pot, you boil them. You put crabs in a pot or a barrel. And what do? They immediately start climbing on top of each other to climb out. They're going for daylight. They're going for daylight. Now, it's a little, you know, not barbaric, but it's survival. They're all trying to freaking get the heck out of there, climb out of there. Anything they can grab onto to pull themselves up, they're going. Now, what's odd about the crabs in the pot syndrome is whatever crab is the highest or at the pot, or at the top, all the other crabs will grab and pull back down. They're all trying to climb up. They're all trying to get up. They're all trying to get out. But if anybody else is close to getting out, what do? They grab it and slash it. Squeeze it and pull it down. They don't let go. They don't allow it to go free. They don't allow it to break into the daylight. That's the crabs in the pot syndrome. And we are all subject to that. We are all in the midst of that at certain points in our day, in our life. Now, if you're trying to lose weight and you're trying to eat well, you're following the Dolce diet and you want earth-grown nutrients, and your spouse or your parent or your child is berating you, making fun of you, killing your confidence, eating your food even. I've heard all sorts of just bad stories. People will throw out good ingredients as if it's something, oh, it was bad, it was spoiled, I threw it out. Wasting good money because let's order a pizza instead. Let's just get a pizza, you know. She was going to make a beautiful dinner, a healthy dinner, fresh chicken and vegetables and rice. And he throws it in the garbage. It's pizza night. What are you talking about? That was bad anyway. It smelled bad. It was bad. I mean, these are things that I hear about. These are stories that I get. My mind is blown. Crabs in the pot syndrome. There's people that are in the middle of dramatic weight loss, lifestyle transformations. They're down 40 pounds. They go and see a parent that maybe they haven't seen in a little while. Oh my God, what happened to you? You look terrible. You look sick. When obviously this person doesn't, because they've been exercising, they've been eating great. All their health parameters are amazing. Their doctor's just glowing at how great they're doing. I know this person also. I mean, this is it's dramatic. And unfortunately, this topic is almost as close as the weight loss topic, where people just want to know how to lose weight. Pro athletes, bikini babes, whoever. We want to lose weight. I want to be sexy. I want to perform, whatever. That's a big topic. That's all of us. We all want to lose weight. Well, the second biggest topic is people that don't know what to do because the people around them are holding them back. And what I say is, fuck them. Fuck those bastards. How dare they? How dare they? It's about you. Don't consider them. And it doesn't mean they're bad people. It doesn't mean they're bad people, but you do not allow them to have energy or power over you. If you set yourself to a good deed, well, you continue to go. If you're doing something bad, well, shoot. Of course, people should step in and slap you in the head and set you right. But if you're being healthy and if you're moving forward, and the people that are contacting me, they're trying to be healthy. They're trying to change their life. They're trying to save their life. They're trying to turn their life around. Maybe you are. Maybe they're just trying to achieve a goal. The high school kid, freshman year, gets his ass kicked. Sophomore year, says, I want to be a state champion. And everybody in his family says, you're fucking crazy. You're too small. No way. I'm not going to get you new wrestling shoes. I'm not going to take you to practice. You're going to have to ride your bike, 5 miles each way at night. Do your homework. Where you better get a job. I know that kid too. That is the crabs in the pot syndrome, and it's rampant, and it's everywhere. It could be at work. Coworkers talk bad about you because you're losing weight. They're not. They're eating the cookies and the donuts and the chips and all that stuff. You're eating you got your coconut roll dates. You got your apple, your almond butter. You got your lean and green, protein power lunch. You're ready to roll, and they're just hating on you. Miss Skinny. Miss all that. There's whoever, that girl. That's the crabs in the pot syndrome because they're not happy with themselves. But fuck them. But don't be mad at them. Don't feel bad, for them. Don't feel bad for them. Lead by example. Lead by example because they feel bad about themselves. That's why what you're doing is shining a light on them, on their lack of confidence, lack of happiness. Something that you're doing is shining a light and showing that they're not happy, they're not secure, so they're lashing out at you. Instead of focusing on them, instead of fixing them, instead of building them, instead of them climbing out of the pot, instead of them achieving daylight and breaking free, all they see is you, and they don't want to see you in the sunlight. They don't want to see you free. They want to pull you down because then you're down with them. And that's better. She's not better than me. I'm not better than her. We're just right here. So, hey, you know what? I'm not that bad because everybody else is not that bad. You don't want to be not that bad. You want to be great. You want to be happy. You want to do your thing. You want to achieve your goals. So it's important to not allow those people to have that effect on you. And I know it's hard. It's difficult. I get it. I've been there, from time to time. We always, different stages of life. You go through different things. And of course, there's constantly people around that are trying to kick you down, pull you down, put you down, make it difficult for you to be happy and to do good things. And remember, you have to be doing good things, focused on good things for good people. Then it's never an issue, never a problem. And they have no right to influence you or be a part of it. So fuck them. Just move on. Don't even, and if they live with you, hey, you know what? It is what it is. I'm going to do my thing. Do your thing. Just keep it to yourself. I'll keep my thing to myself. I love you. Best. I hope the best for you. That's great. You're going to do it. Awesome for you. But hey, I'm going to do my thing. I got goals, whatever. And you don't even share it. You just do it and you continue. You achieve. You succeed. And don't succeed. Some people are motivated to succeed, to rub it in their face. That's fun. come on. That is nice. But succeed for you because you deserve it. And you're bigger than them. You're better than them. Don't do it for them. Do it for you. It's all about you. So avoid the situations the best you can. Don't allow the situations to have anything to do with you. And the more you achieve, the more you focus on forward momentum, regardless of all that stuff, then they become like flies, flies in the windshield of a Mack truck doing 100 down the highway. That's what those little gripes and those little things become. And you just keep it moving, keep going. And you know what? Sometimes you actually help turn them. I see this all the time. The husband and the pizza. Guess what? He's living lean now too, down 24 pounds. Not bad, right? Slowly but surely, these people will understand if it comes from a good place. Your intentions, if they come from a good place, people will get on board. I think that's the natural human order. Eventually, people will see and understand and appreciate and respect. You see that in fighting a lot. You know, guys will come in, one guy, you know, Rocky scenario. I see it in MMA all the time. There's the hometown guy, and then there's the guy, the enemy. He comes in, he gets booed and things thrown at him. He goes out there, fights his ass off, looks amazing, victory or defeat, and gets cheered on the way out. You know, you win people over through your effort, through your work, through your dedication, through your desire, through your drive, through your accountability, because then people want to be like you and you inspire them. And that's really what we're trying to get to. You want to share this with people. You want to inspire. You want to say, hey, like, I was worse off than you. And look what I achieved. Because you're never better. You're never better than anybody. But I was, you know, I was just like you. I was in that pot just like you with you. I got out. Here's how I did it. And here's how it looks out here. Here's how I did this. Here's how I got to that point. Here's how I got to that point. Can this help you? Let me share. Share my path with you. And then take it for what you will. Apply it your own way. That's the way to do it. So, you know, for all you guys that you got those people grabbing on your heels, trying to hold you down, drag you down, F them. You know, do your thing. Keep on moving forward. The days, the weeks, the months, you're going to look back and just see such dramatic progress. See your potential fully realized. That is what it's about. Your true potential can be realized at any moment of life. Day one to the last day. Our job is to fulfill our true potential, our real potential, as we are right now. We should be on that path moving forward. And that carries over everywhere, not just health and fitness, not just, you know, looking great, losing weight, all that good stuff, performing well in sport, not just that. It comes to your relationships. It does come to your job, your finances, your interaction with other people, your self-perception. That's what it's about. That's what we want to constantly improve, evolve, and just fulfill our top potential while we're here. We're not here that long. What are you waiting for, right? I've said that before. What are you waiting for? Don't wait. Get out there. Do it. Do it. Be it. Enjoy it. All right, guys. That is it. The Mike Dolce Show. Remember, don't count calories. Make calories count. Boom.
The Mike Dolce Show.
Because you can't.